Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Thursday, August 10th, baby. On today's podcast, we're going to break down the Seattle Seahawks for you. Geno Smith coming off of that breakout year, a rare breakout that late in his career, but it was pretty awesome. How does he look? Of course, we know we have in place two very good receivers in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, but do we have a third in Jaxon Smith-Njigba? And what's going on with this backfield? Everybody freaking out for a variety of reasons. You have Ken Walker there, and they drafted a rookie in the second round in Zach Charbonnet. Of course, injuries right now as well. We'll get into all that and more, but remember, you do have an opportunity to win a Fantasy Plus subscription over at ftnfantasy.com. Process is simple. Review this show on Apple Podcasts. I know, because I see the numbers, more than 191 people listen to this show, but I only have 191 ratings right now. So go hook it up. If you listen to the show, dude, this takes 30 seconds, and you're also entered in to win a subscription if you don't already have one. Review the podcast, rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Heck, if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts, download the app, rate it, review it, and then delete the app. Doesn't matter to me where you listen, but it does matter to me where you review. So rate, review, and in your review, leave your Twitter handle or your Instagram. If you're not on Twitter, just make sure I know that it's Instagram, and you're entered in to win. I'm giving out another one on Monday. We've already had three winners. And I know it's like, it's not $1 million, but it is $100. So that's not too shabby. Honestly, I win like $20 and I'm stoked. Like, yes, $20. So hook it up, and if you just want to help the show out anyway and you don't want to enter in, just review the show. I'm not going to be mad at you. FTN Fantasy Plus subscription, it is there. It is officially awesome. We are in the heart of fantasy draft season, and this is your secret weapon. Yesterday on FTN, ftnfantasy.com, I released the roadmap. That is my draft strategy. It is the winning draft strategy. If you want to be able to draft like me, hey, I don't tell you draft this player in round one, draft this player in round two, blah, blah, blah. Because what if those guys aren't there? I want you to be better. We're better than that. I want you to be better than that. And I open the kimono. I tell you exactly the thought process, how I draft, how I do everything each round, essentially. That's some premium stuff right there. Plus all the cheat sheets, the draft guide with 288 profiles, the award-winning rankings, the most accurate rankings in the industry. And that's the tip of the iceberg. The Discord community, so much more. Promo code RATPACK will get you 10% off on that subscription. Also, a shout out to our presenting sponsor, Circa. The Circa Millions contest is registering right now. It's open through September 9th, deadline at 2 p.m. This contest runs through the NFL season, and I say it's simple. It's not. It's difficult. I mean, it's simple to describe, but it's a very difficult contest, but it's awesome. Five games each week against the spread. You pick the five that you want to put into the contest, and if you have the most correct answers at the end of the contest, you win $1 million. Now, five games against the spread is no joke. I've done contests like this before. I'm really stoked for this one this year. The one I've done before is with three. Three is hard enough. Five's crazy, but I can't wait. There is prizes, though. It's not just first place. Top 100 get paid out. Quarterly payouts. And you also get, if you really suck, last place gets $100,000. Second to last place gets $50,000. So $1,000 to enter. You can enter up to five times. Register at Circa or any of the sister properties in Vegas. You can use a proxy service if you are, in fact, out of state. Okay, so let's get into the Seattle Seahawks. They exceeded expectations last season. A little bit of a surprise. I mean, the record isn't amazing or anything like that at 9-8, but heading into the year, you had just moved on from your franchise quarterback. You were either going to start Geno Smith, who had proven to essentially be a backup, or Drew Lock, which, ugh. And there wasn't a good answer, right? Well, I guess there was. Maybe Pete Carroll knows a little bit more than we think he knows, because Geno Smith ended up being, I mean, honestly, pretty close to a one-for-one replacement for what Russell Wilson was. If you look at the stats, it's pretty wild. Like, credit where credit's due. I learned my lesson. I'm sorry. I will never doubt Pete Carroll again. He, of course, is still there, and Shane Waldron is the offensive coordinator. So in terms of subtractions, they did move on from a chunk of their backfield, Rashad Penny and Travis Homer. I'll get into that a little bit more in a bit here. Marquise Goodwin is also out. The only players who are in really are rookies, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Zach Charbonnet, and Kenny McIntosh. They were really effective in the passing game. Passing yards per play, 7.47. That was eighth highest in the league. They also were relatively pass happy. You know, remember the let Russ cook? Well, they passed, they called a passing play 62.5% of the time. That was 12th highest in the league. They let Geno cook. Pretty surprising. Of course, the team does run the football effectively, 4.8 yards per play. That was seventh highest in the league. They did not use a lot of 11 personnel last year. They were very 12 personnel heavy. They had the third highest 12 personnel rate in the league, which is two tight end sets, 29.5, just 52.8 in terms of their 11 personnel rate. That was just 26th in the league. I would suspect that's going to change dramatically with the addition of Jackson Smith and Jigba this season. So let's get into the players. And I mean, I guess we might as well start with Geno Smith. What a season, man. Geno Smith actually was one of my saviors in a Superflex last year. Home league, you know, there's a lot of pride on the line, man, especially for me. You know, everybody's like, oh, yo, Ratcliffe does this for a living. He sucks. So I got to get those wins when I can. And picking up Geno Smith at the right time, he was one of my quarterbacks. I went up against Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts in the championship game. And with my measly Geno Smith and Kirk Cousins, I won the darn championship, okay? I know. Humble brag. I'll take it when I can get it. But, I mean, seriously, though, Geno Smith had almost 4,300 passing yards, 30 passing scores. Not a bad running quarterback either. 366 rushing yards. Only one rushing score, but whatever. I mean, it was really impressive. Now, his receivers, he's got very good receivers. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett are awesome. And his receivers dropped just 2.4% of his throws last season. That was the lowest in the league among starting quarterbacks. He also led quarterbacks with touchdowns traveling at least 20 air yards with 14 of them. So some big boy throws, 8 out of 8.2 yards. So average depth of throw of 8.2 yards on average in the air. That's good. He also, and this is like the banana stat, he threw to the end zone 45 times in 17 games. Now, I'm happy for 17 games. I'm happy seeing 30, 32, 33, 34, somewhere in that range, like close to two or at two, well above two for Geno. And that tied for the league lead with Josh Allen. And he converted 19 of his 45 for touchdowns. That's insane. 19 of his 30 touchdown passes came on throws to the end zone. That's why I am so intently focused on end zone targets and end zone throws. So Geno Smith is a safe option. Like, he's not sexy. He's not a guy who's going to win you a championship this year. But if you're like me, I have two approaches where I like Geno Smith. In one quarterback leagues, I go safe and upside. So I get one safe, one upside. Not too safe, not too upside. One safe, one upside. Geno Smith is a prime safe option. In Superflex, I often, in home leagues especially, I go basic bro. Geno Smith and Kirk Cousins is as basic bro as it gets. Why do I call it basic bro? Because, you know, there's no flash to them. They're just high floor guys. You kind of know what you're going to get. They're not going to take the league by storm, but they're going to do a decent enough job, and you can kind of set your watch to them. Geno Smith is that guy this year. No issues with him whatsoever. And you don't have to overpay for him as well. So let's talk about his wide receivers. Let's start with DK Metcalf. He is something else, isn't he? Last year, 90 catches. Now, his yards per catch has decreased. He was at 15.7 in 2020. 12.9 in 2021, just 11.6 last year, but I don't care because the efficiency was very high, 90 catches. Now, the touchdowns went down a little bit. Again, not worried about it because He led the league in end zone targets. He was Geno's favorite guy. Basically, just under half of Geno's end zone targets went to DK Metcalf. 22 of them. So I'm not worried about DK at all. At all. Perimeter receiver, 83% of his routes were on the perimeter. His career rate's 84%. He's not going to kick to the slot very often. Runs a lot of go route, 26% of the time last season. So he's going to get downfield. He's going to be an end zone presence. And you're going to be able to draft him at like wide receiver 15, 16, 17. So there are worlds if you go wide receiver heavy early where DK Metcalf is your number three. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Now, how about Tyler Lockett? I think he's is he the most underrated wide receiver of the last half decade? Like, I know sometimes fantasy analysts do this all the time. Like, we are hyperbolic by trade, but I don't think that's hyperbolic whatsoever. Look at what he has done over the last half decade. In the last four seasons, 10th among wideouts in receiving yards, 8th in receptions. He has 339 receptions. He is like a 1,000-yard just ink him in. He scores a ton of touchdowns. Last year he had 9, the year before 8, the year before that 10. He's efficient, 1.94 yards per route run. That was 20th among wideouts last year. That was better than DK, by the way, who was at 1.81. Now he moves around the formation more, 42% slot rate last year. Like, DK's not going to go to the slot, Lockett will. We'll talk about Smith and Jigba in a moment here. But here's the knock on Lockett. He is now over 30 years old. And, you know, I don't know when that decline happens, but I know it will happen because it happens with all of them. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter who you are. So, is it this year? So, the other thing, the other damper here is Jackson Smith and Jigba is very good. One of the most productive wideouts in the nation in 2021. Of course, he missed most of 2022, basically all of 2022 due to injury. But in 2021, he led the FBS at 4.01 yards per route run, which is an insane number in terms of efficiency. And he did so while being on the same team as Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. Now, granted, some will point out that the whole offense was set up for him as primarily a slot receiver. I don't know, man. You know, I'll let the draft nicks find the bad things. I'm going to find the good things for fantasy purposes. The dude is very quick in a phone booth. You know, he's like Superman and quick changes in that phone booth. He is extremely effective after catch, and he is a very polished route runner. He's going to hit the ground running, and I don't think there's going to be that much of a gap between him and Tyler Lockett this season. I have Smith and Jigba right on the edge of wide receiver three territory. Lockett's like squarely in wide receiver three territory. But, man, he's going to be the number three target because Noah Fant, Will Disley, neither one of those guys sees a heavy target share. Fant had 63 targets last year. Disley had 38. So there's a lot of meat on the bone. I mean, Geno Smith threw the ball 572 times last year. There's a lot of meat on the bone for Jackson Smith and Jigba. Now, what about the backfield? The big complaint from everybody during the NFL draft, oh my God, they drafted another running back? Bro, entering the draft, they had two running backs on their roster. That was it. Two. Of course they drafted running backs. Now, it kind of stinks because the dynasty community was in tune, plugged in on Zach Charbonnet, but let's talk about this. Kenneth Walker, who's dealing with a groin injury, but Pete Carroll has consistently said it is not a big deal, is coming off a season where he was really effective. 15 games played, 228 carries, over 1,000 rushing yards, 9 rushing touchdowns, and not that bad in the passing game. He had 27 catches, but it's the juice that he showed. You know, he wasn't the lead back from the jump, too. He was tied for third among running backs in runs of 15-plus yards with 17 of them. He was one of just 5 running backs with a run of over 70 yards. He had a 74-yard run. He was one of 22 running backs to see double-digit goal line carries. He had 10 of them. He tied with Austin Eckler for the second most red zone carries at 51. I mean, the role is there for him. So, Walker, with Charbonnet's presence, does move down to RB2 territory. But I don't think people should be freaking out, especially if you're in like Dynasty or whatever and you have him. You shouldn't be freaking out. Charbonnet is going to be used, though. But I think this is just an indication that, I mean, Seattle has dealt with injuries at running back consistently. They are right now in camp consistently. So I don't think it's a huge deal. Like, this guy's still their lead, and Charbonnet is going to come in and contribute. You know, Charbonnet is really good in the pass-catching game. He last year, he was tied with Devon Achane for the 11th most targets among running backs. He had 37 receptions. That was the 8th most in the nation. 5th most receiving yards among running backs at 320. So he's good in that area. He's also explosive. 24 runs of 15-plus yards. That was 4th most in the nation last season in Chip Kelly's offense there. 5th with runs of 10-plus yards with 44 of them. I mean, he can do a lot for you, but I don't think they're going to lean on him because Walker is that guy for right now. Now, if Walker went down, Charbonnet becomes especially interesting. I am targeting Charbonnet as a punt RB2 guy, so like a guy you get in the ninth and tenth is where I see him the most. And I'm willing to just sit on him in the beginning of the season because I know he's not going to do that much. And that's okay. It's a scratch-off lottery ticket because if something happened to Walker, then you're sitting on something big. Now, if I drafted Walker, I don't want both of them because I'm not handcuffing RB16. So that's where we are with Seattle. Very interesting team. Exciting, exciting. So we go from an exciting team to not so much. Because of the quarterback situation without Tom Brady in Tampa. That will be our next podcast, so we will hit that up. Remember, in the meantime, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off, and review, rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave your Twitter handle in your review, and you are entered in to win a year of Fantasy Plus. Hook it up, man. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. Lots of great free content over at FTNFantasy.com as well. But I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.